You would open up your Bibles to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 2. It's going to be the conclusion of our series on idolatry. And we want to look at Jeremiah chapter 2 this evening. The prophet Jeremiah is charged to speak to the people of God whose hearts have turned away from God and have turned to the world. They've forsaken the Lord. And the point that Jeremiah makes in the second chapter is that they've left the Lord without cause. You look at Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 2. The prophet says, "Go and proclaim in the hearing of Jerusalem, thus says the Lord, I remember the devotion of your youth, your love as a bride, how you followed me in the wilderness, in a land not sown." And so God here states that, why does Microsoft always want to update in the middle of this? Have you ever noticed that Microsoft always wants to update when you're doing something else? But what we see here is that they left the Lord, and the Lord remembers the devotion that they had in the beginning. And certainly that's a common problem, that those who start to walk in the Lord that don't always, you know, keep that going over time. Or maybe they lose the intensity of their devotion to God over time. And that certainly does happen even today. Jesus condemned the church in Ephesus in the second chapter of Revelation because he said that they had lost the love that they had at the first, that their devotion had waned, the love had cooled off. And so the idea here that the prophet Jeremiah is saying is that there is a remembrance of the love that the people initially had for the Lord. And as we've studied through the Old Testament and we saw, you know, them coming out of the land of Egypt and the things that they were involved in before in being in slavery, that there should have been some thankfulness for being removed from that situation, but that thankfulness did not always, you know, carry on generation after generation, regardless of how that there were remembrance for those kind of things. And when we were studying Judges, we saw the cycle where people would turn away from the Lord over and over, and then come back when they're under persecution. But here the Lord is remembering that love they initially had. And is saddened that has vanished. And so this lost love is a theme here in this book. And so, you know, God tells them that that there are some reasons why what they are seeking now is worthless. And so this ties in with idolatry, because everything about idolatry is worthless. The things that were built, the images that were built, the things that would be followed after instead of God, all of those were man-made. All of those were worthless. And we're going to talk in a minute here about the term broken cisterns and what that means. But the thing that's being questioned here is why has this happened? In chapter 2, verse 1, the word of the Lord came to me saying, "Go and proclaim in the hearing of Jerusalem, thus says the Lord, I remember the devotion of your youth, your love as a bride, how you followed me in the wilderness in a land not sown. Israel was holy to the Lord, the first fruits of his harvest. All who ate of it incurred guilt. Disaster came upon them, declares the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, all the clans of the house of Israel. Thus says the Lord, what wrong did your fathers find in me that they went far from me and went after worthlessness and became worthless? They did not say, where is the Lord who brought us up from the land of Egypt, who led us in the wilderness, in a land of deserts and pits, in a land of drought and deep darkness, in a land that none passes through, where no man dwells? And I brought you into a plentiful land to enjoy its fruits and its good things. But when you came in, you defiled my land and made my heritage an abomination. The priest did not say, where is the Lord? Those who handle the law did not know me. The shepherds transgressed against me. The prophets prophesied by Baal and went after things that do not profit." And so you see what the Lord is asking. You know, he's saying basically, I've been here. You know, nobody had to say, where is the Lord? The Lord has deserted us. The point is that they were the ones that had forgotten the Lord. The Lord had not forgotten them. And it was because they had forgotten what God did for them. And this is a remembrance the prophet Jeremiah is bringing up. You know what was done in the past. You know, here's where you were, and here's what God did for you. So you know, God's always been there for you. And the people have forgotten the redemption that they received from the Lord. They forgot the Lord who brought them out of the land of Egypt, who freed them from their slavery. So it's not that they didn't know this, and it's just not having an effect on them. It's not having a bearing on their hearts and in their lives. And you know how soon they don't really hold in the front of their mind anymore that God took a bunch of slaves, gave them a land, made them a great nation. It really is a remarkable story when you think of what God did for those that were engaged in slavery in Egypt, that God took those who were slaves and made them this great nation. It's a wonderful thing and a wonderful story, but they forget the provisions of the land. They forget what God did for them. Verse 6 describes how God had taken care of them through all this time. They did not say, where is the Lord who brought us up from the land of Egypt, who led us in the wilderness, in a land of deserts and pits, in a land of drought and deep darkness, in a land that none passes through, where no man dwells. These people lived, you know, for 40 years in the desert, and God, you know, took care of them. And that would not have been possible without the hand of God and His protection over them, taking care of them each day. And they forgot that God gave them the blessings and gifts that they had. Verse 7 reveals, you know, that is God who gave them the plentiful land. And I brought you into a plentiful land to enjoy its fruits and good things, but when you came in, you defiled my land. So God gave them the plentiful land so that they could prosper. They could prosper economically and live well in the land that flowed with milk and honey. And so sometimes people's hearts wane in their devotion to God. And we forget, even today, people forget the redemption that they received from Christ. And it is a often repeated phrase in the world today that when somebody enjoys success, people say, well, don't forget where you came from. Don't forget those that helped you up that ladder. Don't forget the little people that were a part of your success. Well, they have forgotten the success that God has given them, or they've forgotten who gave them success in the first place. And we forget the redemption that Christ, you know, brought to us to save us from really the drought in our life, that because we deserve judgment because of our sins. And do we forget that God has helped us in our time of need, and that He is that anchor for us when we have life's hardships? And you know, all the blessings that we receive, do we really focus on who gave us those things, or do we forget and seek after, you know, the worthless ways of the world? Well, that's the charge here that is being brought up by Jeremiah, that you've received all these things, but you've forgotten where these things came from. So if you read on in verses 9 through 11, we see God's charge. Verses 9 through 11 of Jeremiah chapter 2. Therefore, I still contend with you, declares the Lord, and with your children's children I will contend. For cross to the coast of Cyprus and sea, or send to Kedar and examine with care, see if there has been such a thing. Has a nation changed its gods, even though they are no gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which does not profit. And so God has a charge against those who claim to be His people. God says, look at the pagan world and consider those, you know, who left their so-called God. Is that the way that you are? Well, you know, the pagan world, He is saying, they're not changing their lowercase g gods. But, you know, the pagans are not swapping gods in and out, but you are. You know, the pagans, you know, they're consistent in their unbelief and in their idolatry. But you know, what they are consistent in is they're all doing something that's worthless. They're all doing something that has no benefit. But, you know, they are loyal to these worthless pagan gods. And so God is asking, where is your loyalty to the uppercase G God? Where is your loyalty to me, the true and the living God? Because what's the difference? Well, God, the true God's not worthless like these idols. He's one that can give you benefit. He's one that can change the course of the world. He's one that can defeat enemies. And the things that we may choose to seek after instead of him are worthless. They don't have any value. But yet, sometimes people will choose not to serve that God, the creator of heaven and earth. And God asks, who does this? Who changes God? You know, and who changes from the true God to false gods is really the big question.